We find ourselves this Sunday listening to a portion of Matthew's gospel text in which the Lord, after doing a great amount of teaching and some healing here and there, and choosing his followers carefully, is now sending them out. And he sends them out with some instructions about how to be as effective as possible in the spreading of the good news. The word is given, it must be shared, it spreads through person-to-person contact, it must spread as far and wide as possible. It must go, if I may say it, viral. That is kind of the whole idea. Now, with that in mind, though, these words sound a little bit harsh, perhaps, at first glance. What's the Lord talking about? Family divisions, crosses, these whole ideas about what it means to be accepted or rejected, it seems a little bit heavy. To get into what he's trying to say, maybe what I will do for a second is just frame this, these teachings that he's talking about here, in terms of our current context in the COVID world that we all make our way through each and every day anew. And I do so, this is a disclaimer about what I'm about to say, not to make an argument about COVID per se, but just to make the point that principles guide our behavior, all right? Principles and social concepts do guide our behavior. That's what I'm trying to say with what follows. Disclaimer, disclaimer. So first of all, we know, looking back through our long spring here about how to try and deal with the virus that we did not want to spread, that one could say that as time would pass, we became, and I use this word carefully, disciples of the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, as every single day they would issue guidelines and ideas about what we should or shouldn't do to preserve what they consider the maximum possible good, the highest value, which is health. If health is our highest good that we can conceive of and think about, and other people's desire to preserve it is the highest good, therefore, the things that we must do to alter our behavior accordingly and to reshape our lives accordingly around this highest principle of the preservation of health. So tells us the CDC and the WHO, which is fine, that's their job. So with that in mind, therefore, if health is the highest principle, we think about certain things differently, do things differently, adopt practices and customs differently. So one thing that was different, for example, many of us made the decision in the early days and even in the late days of the spring to choose not to go and visit grandparents or parents, great-grandparents, or vulnerable people, so-called, in our health network, because we did not want to give them the virus or endanger their health. So you might say that family patterns reshape themselves dramatically this spring in the interests of health. Because I love you, Mom and Dad, I am not going to go and see you for the next few weeks. Because you love me, don't come and see me. Because you love your grandparents, don't go to nursing homes. This is how we were told to behave. And what did we do? We did it. So highest principle of health reorganized our families in a dramatic way throughout the spring. You might say our allegiances and our customs and our behaviors. Out of love for, as we thought anyhow, their well-being. Another idea too, similar to this. We all endured in our own particular way the whole shelter at home situation across the country, and it seems to be coming back again here and there. This is how it is for a while. Which meant that in the name of health, and in the public service, as it was taught to us by the CDC and WHO and others, we made decisions to sacrifice and go without certain freedoms and comforts. We all know we gave up worship, which was painful for lots of us, of course, so we set that to the side. You might say we sacrificed that. We sacrificed traveling around, sacrificed how we were near each other or not near each other, sacrificed vacations, trips, plans, sporting events, sacrificed all sorts of things. We freely, willingly gave it up. We handed it over, you might say. We gave up our ordinary life and handed that over for the sake of the highest principle of health, which reorganized all of our routines beneath it. So we get this, no? And one last little piece, again, to make the context, I think, a little bit more at home in the gospel. Not only did we reorganize family structures and routines around health, and not only do we make all kinds of other sacrifices around health, we also raised up in our society a new class of heroes and people with an elevated status who had it just because they had a particular profession. So we would learn from signs on hospitals and from billboards and whatnot that if you were a doctor, if you were a pharmacist, if you were an essential worker keeping things running, then you were raised up to the status of a hero in our society, and that was proclaimed very publicly. And rightfully so. It was indeed dangerous work for all of these good people, no question about it. So just because they had a title, they were heroes. Just in virtue of their profession, we knew that they were an elevated status, because why? Health is the highest good, we are told. And anybody who sacrifices for the sake of health in this life has to be a heroic person in our day and age. So take all of that, okay? And I will set to the side the question of whether it was right or wrong. That's not the point. I've got opinions about all of it, but they're just opinions. I want you to be trying to make the point that we reorganize ourselves all the time around a principle. In this case, it was health and the preservation of this passing life. That's what reorganized our lives for 3 months, give or take. So we all know how this works. In light of that, revisit the gospel again. In Jesus' words about being effective missionaries, all of us the baptized who transmit his message to as many people, person to person as possible, he says, here's how you do it. You're going to reorganize yourselves around me. He says, I'm the highest principle. Knowing me is the most important thing. Knowing me is what you might call eternal health. You can substitute salvation and eternal health for the same thing. Eternal health means that in this life, I'm beginning to understand grace, better behavior, mercy, forgiveness, deeds of justice, deeds of righteousness, what it means to treat other people around me of any race or custom with dignity and respect. All that is part of eternal health that catapults me by God's grace into the eternity of the next life, which lasts, unlike this one, forever. So Jesus says, if eternal health, which comes from me, is the highest good, then it makes total sense that you will reorganize your lives around me as the highest thing. If eternal health is the highest principle, if knowing Jesus is the highest principle, if the gospel and all of its teachings are the highest principles, things are going to shift for you, Jesus says. And you'll be my most effective messengers and missionaries and witnesses if you get this. If you don't, the message is going to fall flat. It's not going to spread like it needs to spread, person to person. It's not going to do it. So what are his principles? He goes back to families. You must love father and mother less than me, he says. Doesn't mean you don't like them. Of course you like them. We're all supposed to like family. It's a commandment, isn't it? Whether we like it or not, we're supposed to like family. That's the deal. What did Jesus say? I am higher than that. So it might be the case, disciples, that as time passes, just like we did this last spring, you're going to reorganize your family routines around the gospel. You're going to have conversations about church on Sunday, why we need to go, about what it means to be baptized and why it's important, about what it means to, perhaps, a man and woman who are both Catholic to say, we should probably get married and build a Catholic home together because we have common values. Or conversely, in a household or a community or a parish or a society, there'll be butting of heads over the gospel values. Some will buy this Jesus thing and others are not going to. And those of us who do are going to hang on tightly and say, he is my highest principle. Therefore, there's going to be an argument at the Thanksgiving table. Sorry, that's just how it's going to happen sometimes, right? So he would say, don't be afraid if there are sometimes divisions, because it makes sense that when we hold something so dear and so high, like the gospel, things, even like family, even blood, realigns around the gospel priorities. Why? Because eternity matters more than anything else in the world, and we know that in our bones. Once one knows that, things adjust. Just like we did this last spring. If health matters, we adjust. Same thing with taking up crosses. This sounds, again, rather harsh at first. They would have known the cross in their day and age. Just like we used to have football games on Sunday afternoons in this country, they had crucifixions like they had sporting events today. They knew all about this awful way to die, which was part of their vocabulary. So Jesus picks a contemporary example, and he points to it and says, you see that? Don't be afraid of that. You're going to suffer for the sake of my name. And not only that, if you're a follower of me, suffering is going to take on an important context in my name. You're going to realize this life is temporary. You're going to realize even things like health, while good, are just passing away. You're going to realize that you can actually give up this life to gain a new one. You'll rush into burning buildings to save people. You will stand on picket lines to argue for people's rights and dignity. You will defend the unborn. You will try and stop wars. You'll stand up for the rights of those who need to be stood up for. You protect marriage, you protect the family, you will have arguments and you will suffer for it and you won't care because why? You realize suffering is just temporary, eternity is eternity. Eternal health demands that you suffer in this life. You can't escape it. And if you run from it completely, you wreck everything, God says. It must find its context in my eternal salvation, eternal health. So do not be afraid of crosses for the sake of the mission or just in general. We get this, right? We made sacrifices all spring because we thought health demanded it. Jesus says, if I'm the highest good, you'll make sacrifices for me and you won't be upset about it. It won't be easy, but I'll be with you and you reorganize your societies accordingly. And lastly, there's a whole piece about this whole receive you, receive me, prophets reward, etc., etc. What does that mean? It's linked to the first reading today from the book of Kings, this beautiful story of Elisha, the traveling prophet. The idea that's at the kernel of this goes kind of like this, and it goes back to the heroes thing. The Lord wants us to understand that when God steps into the world, and when his kingdom enters the world, and when eternal salvation is on the line, as in eternal health is on the line, then we're going to recognize as followers that certain things in this life belong to God alone. He consecrates things. He sets them aside and makes them valuable just for his own sake. An example of this is worship. Worship, what we're doing this morning, is on one level completely useless in any worldly category. It's just for God and nothing else. We don't, quote-unquote, get anything out of it, so to speak. I mean, maybe secondarily. But we're here because he demands it, period. Like baptism, he consecrates a person. To be ordained, he consecrates me as a priest. Holy water, the water is consecrated. The Eucharist, the sacraments, consecrated. In other words, a believer recognizes that God moves about the world and he claims things in the world so that we can direct our gaze up to him. This is called the virtue of religion in the Catechism and the First Commandment. It's the idea that worship as its own means is its own means. That's it. It shouldn't lead to anything else necessarily, and it keeps society oriented properly upward. This is a big thing in our current world where no one seems to value this a whole heck of a lot. When faith is often questioned and when we slide further and further to the side because other categories become so important, God says, hang on a minute. You do things just for their own sake of religion. It has its own value and place in the world like nothing else can. Why, for example, in the first reading, does this woman welcome the prophet? She was trying to get something out of it. She did at the end, but in the beginning, she didn't know that she was going to get rewarded. She took him in only because he was a prophet, period. To rephrase this just a little bit in terms of our current context, in prior eras, if you were consecrated as a priest, a bishop, or a deacon, you were a hero. You were elevated because you were someone who understood God's message and you brought his word to the world and you brought the sacraments that made you, in virtue of your profession, a hero, period. Much like our billboards around here today. Now, that leads to its own challenges, as we've seen, obviously, with abuse crises and whatnot. But nonetheless, at the kernel, though, was the right idea that because God had claimed these people, they were a sign of his presence in the world. The woman welcomes Elisha just because he's a prophet, period. That's all she needs to know. He's from God, he's welcome. Worship is of God, it belongs. Sacraments are from God, they're required. The gospel comes from God, it's necessary. We have a disposed heart to welcome God's presence in the world. If that falls to the side, then we lose our whole sense of what's eternal versus what's temporary and earthly, right? So the idea is here, if Jesus is the highest thing, if the highest value is eternal health and salvation, then we're going to reorganize families and structures. We're going to embrace crosses for the sake of the mission. And we are going to recognize when God's present in the world, we have to reach out and honor him in the world as a way of getting us to the next world, which is always the highest, highest value. So maybe, to bring this home to one last little piece, it seems to be the case, I guess, that perhaps as time passes here, the gospel message as we receive it, Christianity as we know it, maybe has lost some of its punch, you might say, especially in our current context. We pay a great deal of attention to health and to science and medicine and politics, all of which are fine, but they're not the Lord. They're not the highest thing. And they shouldn't be mutually exclusive, but sometimes they are and must be. Sometimes the gospel must realign the culture around itself. In fact, I would say all the time, and this is one of those times, as it is in every moment in history. And we can ask ourselves the question, well, if the gospel isn't spreading as fast as it should be, if it seems that a virus is more effective at spreading than God's word, which right now it seems to be, why is that? What has happened that perhaps our witness is not what it used to be? And the answer is always back to what the Lord says. Maybe all of us, myself included, I indict myself under this heading, are too afraid of conflict and families are around us, too afraid of the cross and suffering, too afraid of death, and too afraid to give to God what belongs to him alone, the highest honor, the highest worship, the highest praise, the highest obedience that belongs to God and to nobody and nothing else. Institution, party, person, only God can have all of our highest ultimate obedience and understanding. And if we've forgotten all that, and I do at times, then the mission's going to fall flat. And it's not going to spread. The church is not going to grow. And eternal salvation, eternal health, will not be protected or promoted in this world or the next. So every era must realize in its own circumstances, and we have our own circumstances these days, why Jesus' call in the gospel today resonates anew, anew, anew. Take up your crosses. Don't be afraid of division in my name, and always have me as the highest, highest good, because this life is just temporary, Jesus says. It's good, it's a beautiful life, but it's only to get you to the next one, and that's always of the highest order. When we realize that, we'll organize ourselves, societies, families, institutions, accordingly. So I pray anyway for the grace to heed his call, to let him reorganize my heart and priorities and lives and all of ours as the baptized, who must understand these things. And as we hear his call and we get excited again about his mission and who he is as the Lord, we'll go forth as we need to, and the world will receive what it needs to hear, the saving, eternal, healthy message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.